name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Christos anesti. Christos voskese. Brothers and sisters, we heard today about how the man who had been paralyzed for 38 years was raised to newness of life. It's appointed during this Paschal season because it's an image of resurrection. Christ took someone who was all but dead, unable to move, unable to do the normal, ordinary things of life, and he raised them up. And that man became alive again. He was resurrected. This happened, as we know, in the city of Jerusalem. The Lord went up for one of the feasts, and he came to this place called Bethesda. In Hebrew, you could separate that word into Beth and Ezda, which means the home of a spring, because an underwater spring filled that pool. And there were five porches, or porticos, or colonnade, sometimes it's said. Colonnade is simply a row of columns. And there are a multitude of those who were sick and ill, the lame, gathered. And they gathered there looking for healing, looking to be restored to life as they knew it. Think about healthcare in those days and compare it to our situation. I think we can't complain, can we? Think about all those poor people there at that pool looking for healing. How pitiful a sight. How sad. Seeing so many people in such a difficult situation in life. And this man who you couldn't even really call what he had life. It's a terrible existence. And they were there, looking for healing. I mentioned our own healthcare situation. I would like to ask everybody, if you haven't already taken off your partisan hats when you came through the door, take them off now, put them on the bench next to you. You can put them on after. But take them off just for a second and think about healthcare. Not the parties, not the politicians, not the legislation, all that. Just think about healthcare in general. Care for health. And think about the investments that we make. It's an increasing investment. Every generation, it costs more for healthcare. Technology gets better, equipment costs more, research costs more, prices go up. There's more and more money poured into healthcare. And it's inevitable that this will continue. Because we don't have a solution to the problem, which is death, right? Take all the money in the world and try and keep somebody alive with it. You can't do it. You can't do it. The problem of death is much bigger than healthcare. It's much bigger than political parties. The problem of death is only answered by God, who is life. Now, this place that was called Bethesda, it's also called the Sheep's Pool. And it was called the Sheep's Pool because it was near the Sheep's Gate into Jerusalem. There were numerous gates into the walled city of Jerusalem. One was the Sheep's Gate. And this was a gate that the sheep would be brought through on their way to be slaughtered in the temple for Passover. This pool was there so that when they would be brought, they would be washed there and purified before they were brought in for the sacrifice. Now this Sheep's Pool becomes, in a way, an illustration of baptism. We are the Lord's sheep. He is our shepherd. And we follow him. We're washed in the waters of baptism. And we sacrifice our life for him. And we pass over into a new life, a life of resurrection. And this pool there was an image of what was to come through baptism. The Lord comes to this pool to continue his work of fulfilling that which was in the Old Testament, fulfilling that which was incomplete. And he comes and he finds this man who was there again 38 years paralyzed, but whose situation was much worse because he was there for 38 years looking for somebody to help him, looking for health care. And what did he say? No man's going to do it. I've been here 38 years. No man is going to put me into the water. Why was that? Did the people not know that they had a responsibility to care for him? Was it not preached every single day in the temple? Did the priests not know it? How many priests came? Did the people who heard the word of God come? How many people came to help him? No man. Why? Because they were busy with things. What were they busy with? Well, what is everyone busy with? The rat race of life. We got things to do, right? We got stuff we got to take care of for ourselves. The rat race of life. Well, what about those people who were healed? Maybe those people would have come back after being healed and said, I'm going to help some of these other people out. I'm going to help out this guy who's been here for 38 years. I'm going to help him. Did they come back? No. What did they do when they were healed? They got back in the game, right? Back to the rat race. It was just a pit stop for them. And what is this rat race all about? Well, it's trying to preserve life, isn't it? Isn't that what we're doing? We're trying to accumulate everything that we can. We can store it up. And then when we have it, we can preserve it as long as we can. So we cross the finish line. That's how we win the race, right? Some people would say, well, if you die with the most toys, you win. What's the end of the rat race? What's the finish line? Isn't it death? There's no victory there. It's simply a loss. And this rat race, which is governed by one principle, leads us not just to physical death, but to spiritual death. And what's that one principle? Me first. Me first. That is the first sin, it's the last sin, and it's every sin in between. Me first. What are the two great commandments? It's not me first. What's the first commandment? God first. The second commandment, it's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Neighbor second. What's the third commandment? There is none. It's not me third, even. That already the Lord knows we're going to do. So he tells us, God first, neighbor second. Change the course of your race. Don't be a rat. And that whole city was running this race, not interested in helping him. In a sense, that whole city was sick with the sickness of selfishness and of sin. That whole city was paralyzed, unable to help him because they were so busy with other stuff, unable to do good spiritual work. But on this day, at least, on this day, they had an excuse, right? Why this day? Because it was a Sabbath. They weren't supposed to do any work. Didn't the Lord tell them not to do any work on the Sabbath, to rest? At least they could say, well, we didn't help this guy because it was the Sabbath. In fact, why did you help him? Don't you know it's the Sabbath? Brothers and sisters, what was the Sabbath given for? But to rest from the rat race. To rest from me first. So they could put God first, neighbor second. That's the whole point of the Sabbath. And yet they turned that into me first too. The whole city was paralyzed. And the Lord comes to this man and he asks him a question. He says, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made well? Why ask that question? Isn't it obvious? Isn't that why he's there at that pool? Well, the Lord is asking more than, do you want to be made physically well? Do you want to be raised also spiritually, out of your sin to newness of life? Do you want to be made whole, complete? And the man says, I have nobody to help me. And of course, that's why the Lord came, to help and to give him this resurrection, his newness of life. So he raises him, take up your bed and walk. Later, the Lord meets up with that man in the temple. And what does he say to him? Behold, you've been made well. But be careful. Watch yourself. Don't sin again, lest something worse happen to you. What could be worse? You could die? Well, I imagine that did happen to him. I don't think that's what the Lord was talking about. What could be worse is he could go back to a life of sin. He could go back into the rat race like every single person before him that came to that pool. Back to me first. And that leads again, not just to physical death, but to spiritual death. The Lord said, be careful, don't do it. Don't do it. The Lord said these two things to him. Do you want to be made whole? And he said, sin no more lest something worse come upon you. And it's actually these words that the Lord speaks to us too. Do we want to be made well? Whole. Not just physically. Everybody wants that, right? But do we actually want to be made spiritually well? Do we want to give up our sickness of me first and come to the health of God first, neighbor second? Do we want that? That is the key question. And the Lord asks us, even though we're living in this age of sin, corruption, and death, he asks us because we have to actually want it and be willing to undergo this change. It's not an easy question to answer by any means. Do you want to be made whole? St. Augustine, he has this great prayer, which is, not so great in a way. He says, Lord, give me chastity. Lord, give me chastity. And who wants to finish it? Does anyone know the ending of that second part of that prayer? But not yet, right? But not yet. Give me virtue, but not yet. Give me holiness, but not yet. Give me life, but not yet. Why? Because of me first. That is why. That's what he was struggling with. And that's what we struggle with. If you can't admit it, your situation is even worse. If we can admit it, then we have a hope. And then maybe with St. Augustine, we can come out of that temptation and say, give me life and give it to me now and forever. How would we answer the question if the Lord said, do you want to be made whole? Would we say, Lord, yes, give me charity. Give me humility. Give me patience. Give me forgiveness and reconciliation with others. Give me simplicity of life. Give me generosity. Give me a reprioritizing of my time, talents, and treasure. Give me an awareness of the delusions of this life. Give me distaste for the bittersweet things of this world. Give me a firm resolve to reject the rat race for worldly success. Give me true and full Christian discipleship. Give me an understanding and a desire for the cross. Give me a foretaste of resurrection and newness of life. Give me a real and authentic love and desire for God and for my neighbor. What if that were our prayer? And we didn't say, but not now. We said, give it to me now, Lord. This man, when the Lord came up to him after these 38 years, he was ready. He was ready. And this was his opportunity. In fact, the only opportunity that he had in 38 years. And really, for us, brothers and sisters, the only opportunity that we have is when we come in the presence of Christ. There is no one else. There is no other man who's going to do it. There is no other healing for us, no other resurrection for us, no other life for us. When we come in the presence of Christ, that is our opportunity. And if we let it go, if we say not now, we will lose it forever. What if that man said, Lord, heal me, but not now? He would have lost it. We can't say to the Lord, not now. Because, you know, when we say not now, what we're choosing actually is our sickness rather than health. We're choosing death rather than life. We're choosing me first rather than God. And this becomes our character. And we go back to the rat race. Well, what's the alternative? If I say, give me all of these things now, then that's going to entail some suffering for me. Because if I can't put me first, I got to give up a whole lot of stuff. I got to change a whole lifestyle. The whole course of my life, which was directed in me first, has to change. I got to do a 180, and I got to change entirely. And for what? So I could die with Christ? Is that really what's being offered to us? What does the scripture say? For your sake, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Sheep for the slaughter. Think about that. We follow the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, who becomes the lamb who sacrificed for the life of the world. And we ourselves sacrifice our lives for him and for the world. That's what's promised to us. But that's not everything. Because what also is promised to us is resurrection, is newness of life. What's promised to us is life eternal. When the Lord says, do you want to be made whole? We should answer yes, now and forevermore, no matter what the cost. Secondly, when he says to us, sin no more, lest something worse happen to you, we should realize that this freedom that we receive in Christ has been given to us for a purpose. And what's that purpose? What's our purpose in life after we've given up on the rat race? Take some time to figure this out. Our purpose is Christ's purpose, to go out and to heal and to raise up all those people who say, I have no man, and all those people who are looking for this Christ. Our purpose is to do what he does. We read in the Acts of the Apostles today about St. Peter, who went and he healed Ananias. Then he went and he raised from the dead Tabitha or Dorcas. Doing the exact same thing. Arise, take up your bed and walk. You're healed, you're made whole. But go and sin no more. Don't waste this resurrectional life by going back to the race for death. What does the Lord say to his disciples? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That is what our life must consist of, if it is going to be life and not death. Just yesterday, there was the Kentucky Derby? That race that everybody is so enthralled with? All those people in the race, the jockeys, they had a little cap on. What's that cap called? Probably some special name for it. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But they had this kind of this cap on because they were in this race. What kind of cap do we have on our heads? Is it partisan? Are we just thinking about things in a partisan way? Is it our rat race cap? Take it off. Set it aside. Burn it so you never put it back on. And put on Christ and his newness of life. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is came to give us what no man can give to us. Only God himself can give it. Let us receive it and let us offer it through him and his church to the world. Christ is risen.